So tonight, we have another staff meeting at 9 o'clock, so we have to keep on going. And we have communion. And I thought to myself, when Brother Paul, I asked him, Monday night's prayer meeting at camp, accepting when it's not. And this is one of those meetings, Mondays, when it's not prayer meeting. And I thought, well, you know, it wouldn't be wrong to have a prayer meeting right before the campers come. It might be a good idea to have a prayer meeting before the campers come and the guests and whoever else is coming to camp. So well, why don't we have a prayer meeting? Why do we always have communion? I mean, every period, when there's the new kids coming, the new staff come, why do we have communion? Why don't we have a prayer meeting or just a regular service? Or better yet, why don't we just do nothing, have a bonfire so we can rest and prepare for the arrival of the people and get a good night's... Why communion? Well, I think you all know why. I hope you all know why. But there's some very good reasons why we have communion. You know, communion is... It's one of those teachings, ordinances that God has given to the church to keep. There are only two of them. And actually, we're gonna follow the one tonight, and there's a water baptism is the second one. But in this little teaching that Jesus gives, and he gave it to them in the upper room right before he was about ready to leave, you remember? He took a piece of bread. And I guess he... I like to think of it as Italian bread. It probably wasn't. It was probably good German rye. Or maybe it was a pumpernickel. I don't know what it was. But he took a bread and he took a, probably ripped a piece off, because that's the way they did it. I was in Hungary. I mean, I'm often hungry, but I was in the country of Hungary once. And every morning I was surprised. I didn't know they did this, so they still do this. But you would see the people there around, at least the town that I was in. I can't remember what it was called, but they would go to the bakery every morning on bicycles usually, and they'd all get bread, fresh bread. Every family got bread. How are you supposed to eat the goulash without the nice bread? And every meal was bread, more bread and more bread. That sounds great. And it was great, and it tasted so good. But they would do it the way I think they did it in Jesus' day. They would take a hunk of bread and they would rip a piece off, and then they'd give it to the next guy. And by the time I got it, I had the crust. I got a piece, and I learned you don't just bite it and pass it on, but you rip a piece off and you pass it to the next one. And then Jesus took the cup. And it seems that that was just a cup that he took. And he took the cup and he began to pass that cup around. And they had been used to that because they knew what Passover was. And so they knew what it was to eat the unleavened bread. They knew what it was to do that. They had a semblance of what that meant and why they commemorated Passover and what it meant to them coming out of Israel. But then Jesus gave them some words. It's in Matthew 26. You don't have to turn there. I'm like Brother Peter. It's one verse. By the time you get it, we'll be done. But he gave them this. He said, now, here, take. Amazing. Take. Here, you got to take it, though. You don't want it? Okay, don't take it. Give it to the next. But here, I offer it to you. Jesus is offering to these... I was going to say idiots. They weren't idiots. These guys, these teenagers, which is all they were. Talk about four new counselors. Jesus had a whole group of all new counselors. And they had no training. And they were, for the most part, they were just teenagers, 16, 17, 18 years old. One of them, I think, was married. The rest of them, they were looking. And here they're sitting in the room, and Jesus offers to them a loaf of bread. Well, I'd like that. That sounds good to me. And then a cup, and they go get a little. That sounds good to me, too. But he changed it on them. And he gave it, and he offered it with those words, take this. You want it? I want you to have it. What was he giving them? Bread? A cup? Wine? No. Take, and I want you to eat this. It's my body. Huh? What? I could just see the expression on Andrew, Thomas, on the, what? This is what? This is bread. We know what bread is, but this is your body. I don't know that they understood what they were doing or what he was talking about. Now, we understand that. And Paul used those exact words in 1 Corinthians 11 when you get to the communion table. Jesus, Paul reminds the people in the church at Corinth, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks for that, and then he gave it to them and he said to them the same thing that I'm going to tell you now. Take it. In a few minutes, there's going to be bread going around this room. You're not going to be forced to take it. Whoever is serving communion is not going to stand there, and if you don't take it, they're not going to kick you all of a sudden and make sure, take it! We're not moving until you do. All right. You're not going to make anybody take communion. But you can. It'll be offered to you. Well, what is it that's being offered? And the cup, the same thing. What's being offered? Jesus said, it's my body. In John 6, Jesus, when he was talking to the group of disciples that came out, they didn't understand this either. They couldn't. Hundreds of people came out, and he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any life in you. And they looked like, what in the world is he talking about? Eat his flesh? I mean, what are we doing here? And drink my blood? I mean, what kind of religion is this? What are you doing? Who are you anyway? They didn't understand. I don't know what the disciples understood in the upper room. I don't think they got much. I think when the cross happened, they understood it a lot better. When the Apostle Paul got around to the church at Corinth, and when it comes to our day today, and we hear words like that where Jesus says, here, it's for you. What is for me? What are you giving me? Snack? No, that's why we don't play around with communion. It's not snack time. It's not, let's see how much we can get. Let's get the biggest piece so we get the biggest snack. And I wish I had two cups because I'm really thirsty. That's not what it's all about. It's symbolic. And it's not just symbolic when you take communion. It's symbolic of your life. Not just that one given moment, whether it's once a week, once a month, once a year. Jesus never said how often you have to eat this bread and drink this cup, but he said, I want you to remember to eat the bread and drink the cup because you're showing forth my death. That's a big deal. Take and eat. This is my body. And then he said to them, he packed it into that one verse, I think it's still the 26th verse, where he said, this is my body and my body has been broken. My body has been broken. I mean, we can stop and we can talk a long time about all that we've just said, but this broken part, you know the whole story. But when you think about how his body was broken, and I know it's, you know it well, you know the hands, you know the crown of thorns, you know the feet, you know the side, you know where his body was broken, but you also remember the scourge when he was lashed. And those Roman soldiers knew how to whip. I thought my parents knew how to whip when I got whipped. They didn't know nothing. I'm glad they didn't. I think they did on purpose, not the way that Jesus was whipped. Because those Roman soldiers had whips with some sharpened bone chips or iron or something. And they knew how to hit the back and rip down and tear the flesh apart. So when you read in Isaiah 52, his body was so mangled, his visage was so marred, that we didn't even recognize that this was a human being anymore. Did you ever see anybody in that condition? I haven't. We can't even imagine a person that is so beaten up after a while, after you get lashed 10 times, you're not going into any new skin, you're going into open, riven wounds, and there he was beaten and he was broken. I have to serve communion. And every time I take the bread, it's just my habit. It doesn't have to be, and it's not the right way to do things. But I can't get away from when I break the bread, I really break it. I don't just crack it a little bit, and I don't just push it a little bit. But I say, this is my body, broken. And I think of how the Bible uses the word in Isaiah, he was crushed. He was crushed for me. And Jesus goes to you, and he offers to you tonight his body that has been broken for you. He doesn't say for all the Americans. He doesn't say for all the Guatemalans or all the whoever you might be or all the all the white ones, or all the black ones, or all the Latino ones, or all the Asian. He doesn't classify. Whoever you are, I've given my body on that cross. And my body has been broken in a bunch of pieces. And it's for you. I love the gospel. I love the message of the gospel. It's for whosoever will. The last invitation in the Bible is for whosoever will may come and take the free gift of the water of life. If you want to, take it. If you want to, you don't have to. Why do we have communion tonight? I think it's a reminder, at least it's a reminder to me, how much I need Jesus. How much I need not to know him up here, but how much I need to put him into my mouth and swallow and ingest and let him fill every part of my inner being and be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner being. And unless you eat his flesh, unless you drink his blood, you don't have any life in you. You got kids you got to minister to. You got older people you got to minister to. You got to serve them. You got to work for. Well, how are you going to do that? What life do you have in you? I've got a little bio, so I've got a little physical life. No, we're talking about spiritual life, because people need spiritual food. And you can minister spiritual food in the dining room as well as you can minister it from behind the pulpit here in Watch Rock. You can minister the life of Jesus wherever it is that you are and whoever it is that you're interacting with in the boathouse. What opportunities we have to minister the life of Jesus, but we need to take in the life of Jesus before we can minister out the life of Jesus. Doesn't that just make sense? And so he says, take it. Eat it. I offer it to you. Now, we're going to do that tonight in a few minutes. But I hope you do this tomorrow, morning, noon, and night. And on what day are we up to? By the time the end of the week comes, I have no idea what day it is anymore. But whatever day comes next, we need every day to receive out of his fullness a new supply. Because every day has new challenges. Every day God wants to minister new, fresh anointing. Every day God wants to pour out his spirit. And every day we need Jesus. We need Jesus. And every day he offers himself to us. My body broken for you. But that's not all. I mean, communion, that's enough. But you talk about the unity, the fellowship. You talk about the oneness. We're all eating that one bread. We're all drinking that one cup. We're all holding, Paul says to the Colossians, that one head, our connection. We're all holding to Christ. He's the head, and from him flows through every member of the body the life, as the members of the body receive the life and take the life. And if we're not joined to the head, there's a schism there. If we're not joined to the head, the part of the body's going to atrophy and die, because you can't sustain yourself if you're not connected to the head. Try it sometime. Take your head off and see how long you run around camp. Try to do it all day tomorrow and not connect it to the head and see how good you can minister to anybody else. You can't. Without him, John 15, without him you can't do anything. Don't even try. You don't have to. Because he says to you, to me, take. Or you need it when you're walking down the road, back to Nonantum or up the road or whichever way you go to Nonantum. Take. You need help. You don't know what you're going to do. You got this kid that's off the wall and you don't know how to help him and you don't know what to do for him and you don't know, you need wisdom. Well, take. Take. You don't have enough wisdom. You're not smart enough. I don't care how many times you've done this. None of us have enough wisdom to meet the challenges of our day. But if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And he'll give. He'll give. Liberally. He'll upbraid not. Take. I give. I offer. You need anything? Why don't you just take what it is that I offer? And we're united as one in the body. Truly, John says, truly our fellowship is with the Father. You know, unity goes a long way in the body of Christ. And that's also something that community reminds us of. You got something against me? Talk to me about it later. We'll straighten it out. But before you do this, get rid of that. Commit it to the Lord. You don't like that other counselor? You wish they didn't bring that baby to camp because the kid doesn't keep any food on the tray. It's all on the floor. And I wish meal after meal they would... And I'm kind of resenting those people. I wish they'd sit somewhere else. Go to the middle dining room where she works and leave me alone in my dining room. Or, dear Lord, unity, oneness. Love covers over a multitude of what? Yeah. Dear Lord. And as we come to communion, we think of the prayer that Jesus prayed when he said, Father, I want to be one with them like we're one. I don't know how does that work? How is Jesus, the Son, and his Father, they're one, he said. Jesus said that. How are they one? How aren't they one? I haven't understood that, never will. I don't think I ever will. I and my Father are one. But Jesus, you and your Father, one in purpose, one in desire, one in goal, one. Yeah, we're one. And then Jesus has the audacity to pray in John 17, Father, I pray that those people that you will give me, that's every one of you that have taken and received Christ, I pray that they all may be one. Father, I pray that they all may be one, just like me and you are one. Whoo, that's pretty close. That just doesn't mean, I'll try. That's pretty close. Lord, do you want us really to be knit together and one in goal and purpose? Yes. It's there, is it Psalm 133? That's where God commands the blessing. It's where brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. We're eating one bread, we're drinking one cup. We're in one family. We're part and parcel one of another. And when you suffer, he suffers. And when I suffer, Brother Jason suffers. Because we're one. Oh God, knit us together as one. And if there be a schism in the body, any division, any problems, we got to get rid of those things. They will arise. Okay, I'll tell you right now. There will arise during the next 2 weeks an occasion for you to be offended. Why? Oh, it could be anything. Brother Ernie didn't say hello to me. I said hello to him. He didn't hear you. He's half deaf. No, he did it on purpose. He didn't say hello to me. I'm never saying hello to him again. Sorry. If that was you today on the road, that I didn't listen to you. By the way, I do have good hearing, so if I don't say hello to you back, it's probably on purpose. So take it as an offense. But no, don't take it as an offense. Take it as a test. Oh, Lord, I'm not going to let that break up the unity. I'm not going to let that stop the blessing. What am I, a fool? That I should let that offend me? Shouldn't I be bigger than that? Shouldn't I be more spiritual than that? Shouldn't I be able to take that? Look what you had to deal with and go through. And I can't take a little bit from because he said, she said, and it goes, and you know how it goes. It runs through upstairs. It runs through the workers' lean-tos. I don't know what goes on in the office. The door's shut some of the time. I wonder why. Could it possibly? No. Dear Lord, these things are serious. Why do we have communion? Well, because we have to remember that Jesus wants us to take and eat and receive Christ, and we need him, and we have to be one. And then he says these words, Paul does. Jesus didn't say this when he was in Matthew 26, but Paul said, now before you do this, before you start this tomorrow and the next day or whatever, whenever you're going to think about what symbolically this all represents, and you don't have to do it every single moment of every single day, but remind yourself once in a while so you don't forget it tomorrow and the next day, let a man examine himself. Well, that's another good thing to do. Now, what am I going to examine? Well, let me ask myself the question. Am I receiving everything that he offers me? Well, I like smorgasbords. I'll pick and choose. I'll take what I like and I'll leave what I... No, are you receiving everything that he offers you? There's a fullness of salvation. You know that 116th Psalm, I believe it is, where David says, what am I going to give to the Lord for everything that he's done for me? He's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. He's healed my soul and body, and I cannot tell it all. What am I going to give to him? What could I give to him? Does he want money? No. What does he want? What can I render to the Lord for what he's given to me? You know what David comes up with? He says, this is what I'll do. I'm going to take. Go back to take. I'm going to take the cup. Going back to. I'm going to take the cup of salvation. That's the best way that I can show my appreciation and thanksgiving for what the Lord has done for me. I'm just going to appropriate and receive everything that there is. Are you doing that? Am I doing that? Oh, I don't want to go to hell, so I'm thankful that I got out of going to hell because my sins are gone. That's not all there is in salvation. He wants to save you through and through. He wants to get into your nature. He wants to get into every part of your being. He wants to indwell you. He wants you to eat his flesh and drink his blood and make it part of your system and let it roam around in there and drive out all the works of the enemy until there's no part darkness, but you're filled with light and you walk in the light and you live in the light and you, watch Rock, here we come. This is 2 weeks. We walk in the Spirit and we live in the Spirit and don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. How can I do that? By taking and receiving and living in the light of what I've taken and received by faith, moment by moment, day by day, out of his fullness have we received. How can I show the Lord my appreciation? I'm going to take it all. I'm going to take everything that he has for me. And I need a lot, but I'm going to take it all. And he has more for me than I realize. And he wants to do more for me than I realize. And he wants to do more through me. And so I think these are maybe some of the reasons why we have communion. It's not a form. It's not just because it's the Monday before the bus is coming, so this is what we do. We have no real reason for it. We just do it. That's why, because we always do it. No, there's a reason why we have communion. We want to make sure that we're right with God. And that we're taking all that he has for us. And that we're all united. And so let a man examine himself and see where you are. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And if I'm not up to where I should be, Lord, forgive me. And Lord, put faith into my heart that I might receive all that you want to give for me, to me. Not to leave on the table anything that you offer to me to eat that's found in Christ. Just one last thing from that Psalm 116. I'm going to take the cup of salvation. I haven't proven this, so this might not be true, but I did read it in a credible source. That in the Hebrew, that word salvation is really plural. I will take the cup of salvations. How many salvations are there? Well, there's one salvation, so great salvation, that he purchased for me on the cross. But that word salvation means deliverance. And there's so much in deliverance and so many deliverances. For spirit, for soul, for body, from that inbred sin, from that nature, from whatever. There's so many cups of salvations that he wants me to drink, and he wants me to drink every one of them. And I think they're all found in Jesus. And so, Lord, help us. Help us as a camp. Help us tonight as a group that have gathered to receive by faith and to remind ourselves. Lord, am I in the faith? Am I in the faith? Lord, I am in the faith. Am I receiving all? Lord, help me. Forgive me where I stop short, where I push away from the table, where I get full too quick. Lord, you have so much for me. My eye doesn't see it. My ear doesn't understand it. It hasn't even entered into my heart what you have prepared for those of us who love you. You have a table spread, Lord. You have a feast of fat things that you've prepared. prepared for those of us, and sometimes we get full on the appetizers. We don't want to go out and eat anymore. Jesus, you want to fill us and feed us, and you offer to your children tonight everything that we need. And Lord, we're not only thinking about ourselves. It's not a selfish, it stops with me. Abraham wasn't called just to receive a blessing. He was to receive a blessing so that he could be a blessing. Out of you, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed. And Lord, we don't want to be blessed tonight and receive from you so that we can feel blessed and feel happy about ourselves. But Lord, there are people coming to camp. We're going to have to minister to them. We're going to have to be here for this time period. And even the guests have ministry, Lord, because we want to minister to one another. And so, Lord, it doesn't stop here, but it flows through us. But give us so that we can give out. All to the praise and all to the honor and all to the glory of your name. So help us to partake in faith. As we examine our hearts, Lord, if there's something not right, let it go and let us be forgiven and let us make it right, horizontally and vertically. And then so let us eat and receive and leave strengthened and nourished to do the work that you've called us to do. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. And just one last P.S., I guess. Last time I had communion and served communion was back home at church. And it was right about the time that we were dropping bombs. And Israel was having it out with who knows who, everybody. And Iran was not doing so well. And we had communion right at that time. And I think every one of us knows what's gone on in the world and has gone on and going on. And I remember when I read from 1 Corinthians 11, the words that jumped out at me at that particular meeting were these. I want you to show forth the Lord's death till he comes. And I remember I was just so impressed with it. I wondered, I think I mentioned it out loud. I said, I wonder if this is the last time I'm going to have communion. I wonder if this is the last communion service that I'll be in. I didn't know what would be, and I don't know that anybody knew what was going to drop on who next and what was going to come. And maybe this could be the end. And then I said, well, let's see. The next time I'll have communion will be a camp. If we get that far. We made it. Is this going to be the last year we have communion? Till he comes. Jesus is coming. But that just underscores everything that I've said and makes it all that more emphatic to me. Jesus is coming. Every cottager needs to get saved. Every villager, Natick, Nonantum, needs to get saved and delivered. Jesus is coming. I can't play around and smite my fellow servants and do this and that and the other. And I got to be one with my brother and sister. Jesus is coming. Till he comes, we're going to remind ourselves what we need to do. And by the grace of God, we're going to do it. And if 10, 12, 20, 70, 100 years from now, Jesus is still not back, that's okay. We'll still be reminding ourselves to eat his flesh and to drink his blood. So, Father, help us tonight as we partake, as we enter into this holy communion. Lord, it's not a glib, routine, light thing that we enter into. It's your body that has been broken. It's your blood, the New Testament, in your blood. The promises are sealed, yea and amen, with that blood of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that you might help us as that bread is offered to us. If our hearts be right, we wouldn't dream of eating or drinking unworthily. But Lord, make our hearts clean and right before you and help us to partake worthily and so that we can receive life, wisdom, strength, nourishment, help. so that we can then be conduits and minister these weeks as you'd like us to. Lord, help us to have faith for one another and make there to be a unity even now. Lord Jesus, that we might have faith for the cottage, the village, the Watch Rock end, the staff, the guests, faith. Lord, to believe that even as we receive tonight, you'll do above and beyond in us what we could even ask or think. Thank you for your body. Thank you for the cup. Thank you, Lord, that you've offered it to us. And thank you tonight that I can receive Jesus on the inside. Help me by faith to take.